The book of Revelation is impenetrable. I have heard this exclaimed with some combination of amusement and consternation plenty of times. It comes from folks who are brand new to Bible study and from seminarians and sometimes from clergy. It is a strange book, one that washes over us all through Eastertide this year. And I do mean washes over. Sometimes the book of Revelation feels like that sudden storm that takes us by surprise. The book comes as a wild current, sometimes too fast to really seep in, leaving us wondering what just happened. I mean, really, what is happening here? We have a man named John, who is generally believed to be someone distinct from the John of the Gospel. And this John of Revelation is a prophet. He has a dynamic vision, a dream of sorts, on the Greek island of Patmos, about all that has been and all that will be. And there is so much going on here. There are angels and thrones, lambs and lamps. And that is just in our short passage here today. Beyond these verses, there is blood that cleans like bleach. There is a savage beast rising up out of the sea. There are endless throngs of people coming together to sing like we have never heard before. The prophecy contains enough to make our heads spin. And so, taken all together, it begs the question, what are we supposed to do with this? There are communities who take the direction of reading the book literally, who take it as a forecast of what is to come at the end of time. It's used sometimes as a diagnostic tool in this way, holding the book up alongside what's happening in the world to try to help us decide what to do. But my experience is that reading it this way will likely leave us still frustrated, as if we're stuck on the outside behind a locked door. There are so many mysterious things happening in this book that trying to work with it literally will probably not help us find our way into the heart of it. I've had an experience this year of finding my way back into something that had become all but impenetrable to me. It's been slowly unfolding over the last 5 months or so, and then it hit me. Just this past week, I realized that the divide had become a little more porous than it used to be. The realization came on Wednesday evening as I was strolling past Pleasant Oaks Park, heading down to the open house, the end of year open house at the middle school. And as I walked down the sidewalk, I saw two women coming toward me who were deep in conversation. As we neared each other, and really without thinking about it at all, I called out, "Buenas!" And they smiled, and they looked a little bit surprised, and then responded with the same, "Buenas!" And we kept walking. That was it. Just two words. But as I made my way into the great masses of middle schoolers, I kept smiling, realizing that something had shifted in me. Buenas is a casual way to say hi in Spanish. It's shortened from good afternoon. And while I was busy thinking about a million other things there on the sidewalk, some back part of my brain registered that these women were speaking to each other in Spanish. And so my brain clicked over to make me join them there. perhaps specifically because it was not intentional, I felt delighted. Way back when, I spent a lot of time with the language. I was a Spanish major as an undergrad. I spent time abroad in my early 20s. And then after that, my Spanish languished. There was seminary, and then there were babies, and I just didn't keep it up. But this year, I've been inspired to pick it up again. My kids have been studying it, and I wanted to join them. And it also felt like maybe this was one tangible thing I could do to be ready to help if life got hard for immigrants here. And so since January, I've been practicing on Duolingo, and I've been listening to podcasts, and I changed up my Netflix queue, and slowly, it's been coming back to me. As I've been remembering words and grammar, I've also been remembering the experience of discovering that whole other reality that exists in another language. There are ways it helps us see the world just a little bit differently. There is the experience of beginning to encounter that happy frustration of finding that word that does not have a proper translation into English, and how this starts to change the way we think. Of course, these other realities always exist, whether or not we are aware of them. But what a joy it is when we suddenly realize what's there and that we can enter in. And that's what that simple exchange on the sidewalk was for me, a reminder that the door is open. In some ways, I think that the trick with the book of Revelation is that it is akin to learning another language. Central to the challenge is understanding the genre of apocalyptic literature and reading the book with that in mind. This was something that first century people would have understood, but it tends to be lost on us. And if we don't understand how the genre works, we can really make a mess of things. It would be like reading a murder mystery and trying to use it as a cookbook, or reciting poetry and expecting it to offer us a detailed plan for medical treatment. Murder mysteries and poetry are both great, but they do not help us make dinner or cure an infection. If the book of Revelation is a literal forecast, then it might tell us just what to do or what to expect. But it's begging for us to use it in another way. The Greek word apokalypsis, which is translated for us as revelation, it means more generally an unveiling. It's the act of throwing heavy curtains wide open to let in the light, with the goal of helping us to see the world in a new way. It's about sharing truth more freely, helping people come to understand more fully. It's about creating access to God's dream for the world. The book of Revelation is all about offering us truth through symbol and metaphor. John of Patmos uses these fantastic images, the thrones and eternal lamps and lambs and absolutely fabulous fruit trees. He uses these to help us understand what God is up to. And then he shows us how this dream is dependent on our co-creation, on our collaboration with God. And so here is the vision. Here's God's dream as I hear it today. In a time where truth is so often distorted or covered up, God longs for everything to be out in the light, so that together we can see all that has happened and all that is needed. God is pulling us into the light, leading us to a way where this truth-telling will be our reality all the time. And in the warmth of that sun that never sets, God dreams of healing for all people. The vision is one where all people are made whole, no matter where they are from, no matter what they have or haven't done. Healing is for them. No one will be kept out. The gates will never be shut. It's the dream of this healing, not just for individuals, but for whole nations, for all nations, that we would leave war behind us and move forward as one. And finally, it's a vision of being nourished. The dream is of a place where at the center of our common life, people who are thirsty can drink. People who are hungry can eat. They can eat their fill of good things of every kind. It's a vision of communion and abundance. It's a vision of the intimate presence of God, and it is for all people. We don't know how these visions will come into being exactly, because this isn't a playbook. But we are invited to study and to ponder and to learn the language of this dream. We're invited to practice it enough that we begin to see it around us, enough that it begins to shape us, enough that eventually it begins to roll off our tongues. If we do, bit by bit, we will begin living into this reality of what God dreams for all of us and for the world.